Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our merciful, compassionate Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this last spring, I had the opportunity to go to Israel for a couple of weeks. One of the locations we visited was the Jordan River near Jericho. And at this location, you could, if you'd wanted, wade into the river. Now, the river itself at this point isn't very wide, probably only about 30 feet across. And on the other side, on the east bank of the river, is the country of Jordan. Now, Israel keeps a pretty close watch on its borders. And Jordan and Israel aren't exactly the friendliest of neighbors. Crossing the border between the two countries isn't exactly an easy or simple process. So, like I said, at this location, you could dip into the river, but there was a floating rope that was put there to prevent people from crossing the river over into Jordan. And on top of this, on the Israel side, there were two Israeli soldiers decked out with weapons and gear to make sure no one crossed over that rope into Jordan. These guards actually got after people if they got a little too close to the rope, or if they like put their arms over the rope, they got after them. They didn't want anyone even getting close to crossing over into Jordan. This boundary between these two nations was closed off. But when I walked into the muddy river, I did manage to slip my pinky over the rope without them noticing. So I think I can say I've actually been to the country of Jordan. It counts, right, Mr. Gallagher? It counts, yes. Boundaries, borders, barriers, they elicit limitations or restrictions. One may go this far, but no further. One may act in this way, but not another. You can be here, but not there. For good or bad, our lives are full of boundaries. International borders, like the one between Israel and Jordan. Interpersonal boundaries regarding what we can and cannot talk about. Rules for how we should or shouldn't behave in certain social contexts. Inbounds and out of bounds in sports. Barriers to where and to how fast we can drive. Our lives are full of borders. In our gospel reading from Luke today, we see the presence of many boundaries. First of all, Jesus is journeying along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now, this border isn't only a geographical one between these two regions, but it's also an ethnic one, a barrier between Jews and Gentiles. Jews had settled in Galilee, while Samaria was inhabited by the Gentile Samaritans. And tensions certainly existed between these two people groups. So Jesus is traveling along this border when he encounters these 10 leprous men. However, another border existed around these men. They all had leprosy, which made each of them ceremonially unclean. And according to Leviticus and the ceremonial laws, these men were ritually unclean. Unless their disease was healed, they remained unclean and had to be separated from other people. A boundary was put in place to prevent them from spreading their illness and also to prevent anyone else from becoming ritually unclean. They were essentially exiled from their communities. A border had been in place around them, disconnecting them from the rest of society. Boundaries at geographic, ethnic, social, and ritual levels are all present when Jesus encounters these sick men. I'd like to consider the plight of these leprous men for a bit. I think much of their situation is lost on us today. These men were ostracized from society not only because of their sickness. Certainly, people around them would have been afraid to be near them. They would have been afraid to contract the leprosy themselves. No, they were also removed from their villages to prevent the spread of the disease, but also with leprosy, they had to be separated because their presence would have made other people ritually unclean. Merely touching a person with leprosy would make you unclean. And being ritually unclean meant you could not participate in the religious life of your community. You could not enter the temple in Jerusalem. You could not offer any sacrifices, whether sacrifices of thanksgiving or sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. You would not be able to participate in worship at all until you became ritually clean again. And for someone with leprosy, you could not become clean unless you were first healed of your disease, then offered a sacrifice at the temple, and then pronounced clean by a priest. And one could not offer a sacrifice if unclean, because one couldn't even enter the temple if you were unclean. And furthermore, at this time, healing for leprosy was unlikely to ever happen. Only a miracle could cure leprosy. So these men were essentially bound to their sickness and their social status as social outcasts. Now let's consider some of the broader implications for these men. They've been removed from their religious life, cut off in essence from the presence of God in the temple. But they'd also been removed from their social lives, and their family lives. You think about it. Unless these men had contracted leprosy at a very young age, they were likely husbands and fathers. At the very least, they were sons and brothers. But now, they were essentially family-less. For all intents and purposes, they were now basically orphans, widowers, and childless. Who knows how long they had been apart from their family and friends? Months? Years? A decade? How long had it been since they had any meaningful human contact? A welcome hug, a loving embrace, a comforting touch. How long had it been since they had enjoyed working with their own hands? Or a Sabbath meal with their family? These men were certainly suffering physically with their skin rotting off of their bodies, but their suffering went beyond just physical symptoms. Relationally, they were cut off from everyone they knew and loved, unable to touch or be touched. Socially, they were now outsiders and outcasts, disconnected from their communities. Emotionally, they were full of despair, living a hopeless life. And spiritually, they were removed from the religious life of their people and unable to participate in worship. A miserable and hopeless existence shared only with others sharing the same miserable existence. Marginalized, ostracized, and excluded. These men were hemmed in by the boundaries and the borders that they could not cross nor escape. We may not be suffering from this physical, social, or religious symptoms of leprosy like these men were, but we've all been in similar situations. Circumstances where we're constrained by boundaries in place around us. Sickness or cancer or an injury that restricts our lives, prohibiting us from doing what we would like to do. Financial struggles that pin us down, limiting us and limiting our quality of life. Or racial barriers that stir up suspicion or bitterness. Or brokenness and broken relationships that bind us to emotional pains and hurts. Depression and anxiety that confine us to ourselves because those around us just don't understand what we're going through. And we can be bordered in by any number of other things. Fatigue, loneliness, lawsuits, custody battles, house payments, doctor's appointments, car repairs, student loans, singleness, unhappy marriages, dissolved marriages, mistakes, unemployment, overworking, and on and on and on. And not to mention, we're constantly bound by our sin, especially those secret and habitual sins that we cannot shake or get rid of. Resentment, jealousy, hatred and bitterness toward a family member, that short temper, pornography, despising and hating oneself. We're all bound by the things of this broken world and our sinful lives. We're bound by sin and death. Christ, have mercy on me. Sometimes this is all we can cry out. This is what the lepers cried when they saw Jesus. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. A plea for mercy, a request for healing, a petition to fix what's wrong. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And Jesus did have mercy upon these suffering men. He compassionately crossed the boundary separating them from himself. He crossed the social boundary by healing unclean men. He crossed the ethnic boundary by interacting with a Samaritan, an unclean Gentile. He crossed the religious boundary by telling these men to go to the priests that they might be publicly declared clean. Jesus showed his love and concern for hurting and suffering people. All four Gospels reveal Jesus as having compassion upon people, especially those marginalized by society. And this is a particular theme within the Gospel of Luke. And I think this makes sense given that Luke himself was a doctor concerned about those who are sick. But Luke himself was also a Gentile, one outside of the Jewish community. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus continually crosses the boundary between our holy God and sinful humanity. He took upon himself the weakness of being human. He suffered as we suffer. In his ministry, Jesus superseded the holiness code of the Old Testament with his own holiness code, one that introduced God's kingdom into a broken and sinful world. Jesus brought the kingdom of God to ostracized and unclean people by healing them of their diseases and forgiving them of their sins. Jesus crossed over the boundary of uncleanliness and ushered unclean people into his kingdom. Jesus again and again showed compassion towards suffering people and again forgave people of their sins. Jesus continually crossed the boundaries of sin, suffering, and death to make people clean, to bring them into his kingdom. And Christ himself crossed over into death itself by dying on the cross in order to remove sin and uncleanliness from people. Jesus crossed over the boundary of death through his resurrection in order to make people clean and give them life. And Jesus is still in the business of crossing the border between himself and unclean, sinful people. Christ fills his church with unclean people, forgiving them of their sins and making them clean. Jesus has done this for each of you, crossing over into the realm of sin and death to bring you into his kingdom of righteousness and life. Christ crosses over all the borders and boundaries in your lives. The afflictions, the failures, the loneliness, the shame, the sin, he enters into all of it, into all of this uncleanness, in order to take it upon himself and make you clean. Christ has healed you of the leprosy of your sin. And the God who cares enough to forgive you, to send his son to die for you, certainly cares about all the other afflictions and hardships you endure, whatever they may be. Jesus has already crossed over into your suffering and suffers with you. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus has ensured this promise to you that one day you will be completely healed and made clean of all of your afflictions. And until that day arrives, I encourage you to join the 10 lepers in their hopeful appeal to Christ's mercy. Jesus, have mercy on us. And to join the Gentile Samaritan in thanking and praising God for all that he's done for you. Now may the peace of God, who surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our merciful and compassionate Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Amen.